All right, welcome to another deep dive. This time, we're going to be taking a look at some academic lecture notes on James 1.22.27.
Okay.
And, you know, this whole idea of being doers of the word, not just, you know, hearers.
Right, right.
So imagine you're, like, sitting in on a really interesting theology class.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're getting a scholar's perspective on this really powerful passage.
Yeah.
And so, like, the big question that we're going to be wrestling with today is, what does it really mean to, like, put faith into action?
Yeah.
How does that actually connect to our, you know, Monday through Friday?
That's such a good question. It's a powerful idea that James is presenting here,
mm-hmm.
and it's so relevant, like, to how we live in today's world, you know?
Yeah, and one of the things that the lecture notes really emphasize is this contrast between just, like, listening to the word and then, like, actively living it out.
Right.
It's like, we all know that exercise is good for us, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But how many of us are actually, like, hitting the gym consistently?
Oh, for sure. It's so true. James actually uses this vivid analogy of a man looking in a mirror. You know, the man sees his reflection, maybe notices a few flaws, but then he just walks away and totally forgets about it.
Right.
Like, pointless.
Yeah. That's like, what's the point? Right.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what James is saying about hearing the word, but not acting on it.
Right.
It's like, we can sit in church, we can listen to sermons, we can read our Bibles, we can agree with all of it intellectually.
Yeah.
But if it's not changing how we live, what's the point?
Yeah.
It's like looking in the mirror, you see that stain on your shirt.
Yeah.
And you just walk away like it's not there.
Exactly. And that's where this whole idea of self-deception comes in.
You know? Interesting.
James is, like, warning us that we can fool ourselves into thinking we're, like, good with God just because we, you know, believe certain things.
Mm.
But true faith, true salvation
right.
goes so much deeper than that. It's about, like, letting the word transform our hearts and then living out that transformation in, you know, our day-to-day lives.
So it's not enough to just, like, have the head knowledge.
Right.
You got to actually put that knowledge into practice.
Absolutely. Think about it this way. Like, we live in a world where we're constantly bombarded with messages about freedom.
Okay.
You know, freedom to choose, freedom to express ourselves, freedom to buy whatever we want.
Mm.
But how much of that is actually true freedom? You know?
You're right.
James actually offers a really different perspective.
Okay.
He talks about the law of liberty.
Law of liberty. Okay.
And it sounds kind of like a contradiction, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, how can a law be liberating?
Yeah, usually we think of laws as restricting our freedom.
Right. Jesus.
Not, like, expanding it.
But James is getting at something, like, way deeper.
Okay.
He's saying that true freedom, it doesn't come from, you know, just doing whatever we want whenever we want.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes from, like, aligning ourselves with God's will, which is, like, ultimately for our good and for the good of others.
So it's like, by submitting to God's law, we actually find true freedom.
Exactly.
That's, like, almost counterintuitive, isn't it?
It is. It's kind of like, think about the freedom that we experience when we choose to put others' needs before our own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might seem restrictive at first.
Okay.
But in those acts of selflessness,
right,
we actually find, like, this deep sense of liberation. That's the love of liberty in action.
Wow.
Think about it. Like, how free are we when we're constantly chasing, you know, likes on social media or feeling pressured to buy the latest gadgets?
Right.
That's not true freedom.
Right.
That's being enslaved to our desires.
Yeah, that's such a good point. It's like James is offering, like, an antidote to the shallowness of modern culture almost.
Exactly. And this whole idea of, like, aligning our lives with God's character, it leads directly into the next section.
Okay.
Where James contrasts true religion with vain religion.
Oh, interesting.
Huh?
And this is where he gets specific about the kinds of actions that demonstrate, like, genuine faith, right?
Yes. James, he zeroes in on three areas. First, he talks about bridling the tongue.
Okay.
He'll explore this in more detail later in the book. But here, he makes it clear that our words, they have immense power.
Right.
They can, you know, they can build others up or tear them down.
It makes you think about how often, like, we might be deceiving ourselves, thinking we're, like, good Christians, while our words are actually causing harm or spreading negativity, like, online.
Yeah.
It's like, are we really living out the word if our, you know, social media feeds are full of, like, gossip and judgment?
And then he talks about caring for the needy.
Okay.
Specifically, like, visiting orphans and widows in their affliction.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just, like, a suggestion, you know? James presents it as a fundamental aspect of true religion.
So it's not enough to just attend church and sing hymns.
Right.
True faith has to be expressed through like concrete actions of love and compassion.
It's exactly.
Especially toward those who are like vulnerable and marginalized.
It's about putting our faith into action. It's about being like the hands and feet of Jesus in the world.
And then finally, he talks about keeping ourselves unstained from the world.
Yes.
And this doesn't necessarily mean like withdrawing from society.
Right.
But it's more about resisting the temptation to find our like security and identity in worldly things.
Think about it. Like a crisp white shirt.
Okay.
You wouldn't want to get it stained with like dirt and grime, would you?
No. No.
In the same way, James is saying that we need to be careful not to let like the values and priorities of this world tarnish our hearts.
So it's about recognizing that our ultimate allegiance is to God.
Right.
Not to the like fleeting pleasures or pursuits of this world.
Exactly. And that can be a tough one, especially in a culture that's constantly bombarding us with messages about, you know, what will make us happy and fulfilled.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So it sounds like James is calling us to a pretty radical countercultural way of life. One that's rooted in our identity as like children of God, not as, you know, consumers or social media influencers.
Exactly. And that's what makes James's message so like challenging and so compelling, you know?
Yeah.
He's calling us to like a higher standard, a standard that's rooted in love and service and like a deep commitment to making a difference in the world.
It's a tall order, but it's also incredibly inspiring.
It is.
It's like if we can truly grasp what James is saying,
yeah,
and put it into practice, it could like radically transform our lives and the lives of those around us.
That's the beauty of James's message. You know, it's not just about theoretical concepts or abstract ideas.
Yeah.
It's about practical everyday choices that have the power to change the world.
So how do we actually do that? How do we move from being hearers of the word to doers? Like, where do we even begin?
Well, that's where those three specific actions that James highlights come into play. You know, bridling the tongue, caring for the needy, and keeping ourselves unstained from the world.
Mm.
It's not just like a random list of good deeds, you know.
Right.
It's a blueprint for authentic faith.
Okay.
A way of life that reflects God's character and demonstrates like genuine worship.
Okay, so let's dig into these three areas a bit deeper.
Yeah.
What does it actually look like to, like, bridle our tongues in today's world? Especially with all the negativity and, like, vitriol that we see online.
It's a great question. It's so easy to get caught up in the negativity, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like everyone's got an opinion.
Right.
And they're not afraid to share it, no matter how, like, hurtful it might be.
It can feel, like, overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you even begin to bridle your tongue when you're constantly like being bombarded with negativity?
I think it starts with awareness.
Okay.
We need to be like mindful of the power of our words.
Yeah.
Every time we speak, we have the potential to, you know, build someone up or tear them down. Right.
James is saying that for those who claim to follow Christ,
yeah,
our words should be characterized by, you know, grace, truth, and love.
So it's not just about avoiding like profanity or harsh language. It's about being intentional with our words.
Yeah.
Even in like casual conversations or online interactions.
Exactly. It's about asking ourselves, are my words bringing life and encouragement to others? Or am I contributing to the negativity and division that's so like prevalent in our world?
That's a great challenge. It's like before we hit send on that tweet or that comment,
yeah,
we need to pause and ask ourselves, is this something that Jesus would say?
It's about letting the Holy Spirit guide our words.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, James compares the tongue to like a bit in a horse's mouth.
Okay.
Or a rudder on a ship.
Right.
Small things that can control something much larger.
Right.
Our words can have a huge impact, you know, for better or for worse.
That's a powerful image. And it makes me think about how often we use our words like carelessly.
Without really considering the consequences.
Yeah.
It's like we're just throwing words around without thinking about the like impact they might have.
It's so easy to do, especially in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
But James is calling us to like a higher standard.
Yeah.
He's saying that if we truly want to be doers of the word, we need to start by taming our tongues.
So how do we do that? What are some like practical steps we can take to bridle our tongues?
Well, I think it starts with prayer.
Okay.
We need to ask God to help us like control our tongues and to speak words that are pleasing to him.
Okay.
And we need to be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit's promptings.
So it's about like surrendering our speech to God's control.
Absolutely. And it's also about being intentional about the words we consume.
Okay.
If we're constantly filling our minds with like negativity and gossip,
right,
it's going to be much harder to speak words of life and encouragement.
So maybe it's time to like do a social media detox or be more selective about the news we watch.
It could be. And it's also about choosing to surround ourselves with people who are like speaking words of life and truth.
Okay.
You know, the kind of people who build you up and encourage you in your faith.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah.
We become like the people we spend the most time with.
Right.
So it's important to be intentional about our relationships.
And remember, bridling the tongue is not about being silent all the time.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, speaking up for what's right, mm-hmm. speaking words of truth and love.
Okay.
And using our words to encourage and build others up.
It's about using our words to like bring light into the darkness.
Exactly. Right? And that brings us to the next action that James highlights. Caring for the needy.
Okay.
Particularly widows and orphans.
This is where the rubber really meets the road, isn't it?
It is.
It's one thing to like talk about loving others,
mm-hmm.
but it's another thing entirely to put that love into action.
It is. And James is very clear that caring for the needy is not like optional.
Okay.
For those who claim to follow Christ. It's not something we do. Like, if we have time or extra resources,
right.
it's a fundamental expression of our faith.
So what does that, like, look like in practice?
Yeah.
I mean, not all of us have orphans and widows living next door.
Right. You're right. The world has changed a lot since James's time.
Right.
But the principle remains the same. It's about, like, actively seeking out those who are marginalized and vulnerable in our society.
Okay.
And finding ways to, you know, meet their needs.
Mm-hmm.
It's about looking beyond ourselves and extending compassion to those who are struggling.
So it could look like volunteering at a homeless shelter or mentoring a foster child or just, you know, being a good neighbor to someone who's going through a difficult time.
Absolutely. It's about opening our eyes to the needs around us mm-hmm. and asking God to show us how we can make a difference.
Yeah.
It's about being like the hands and feet of Jesus in our communities.
And it's not just about like giving money, right?
Right.
It's about like being present with people.
Yeah.
Listening to their stories,
mm-hmm.
offering them like practical support.
Exactly. It's about showing them that they are seen and loved.
Mm-hmm.
It's about reminding them that they are not alone.
It's about like embodying the compassion of Christ.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's also about like advocating for justice and speaking up for those who are being, you know, marginalized or oppressed.
Right.
It's about using our voices to amplify the voices of those who are often silenced.
That's so important. It's like our actions need to match our words.
Right.
We can't just talk about caring for the needy.
Mm-hmm.
We need to actually do something about it.
Right. And that brings us to the final action that James highlights, keeping ourselves unstained from the world.
Okay. This one can be a bit tricky, can it? I mean, we live in the world.
Yeah.
So how do we keep ourselves from being like influenced by it?
Right.
Especially when we're like bombarded with so many messages about what we should buy, how we should look, and what will make us happy.
You're absolutely right. It's a constant battle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about like becoming hermits or isolating ourselves from the world.
Uh-huh.
It's about being like discerning.
Okay.
About recognizing the subtle ways in which, you know, the world's values and priorities can
yeah.
seep into our hearts and minds.
So how do we do that? How do we guard our hearts against those like subtle influences?
I think it starts with recognizing that the world's definition of like success and happiness and fulfillment,
mm-hmm.
it's often at odds with God's.
Right.
You know, the world tells us that we need to be rich, powerful, and popular to be happy.
Right.
But God says that true happiness is found in him.
Okay.
In loving him and serving others.
So it's about like redefining what it means to be successful.
Yeah.
About shifting our focus from like material possessions and worldly achievements
right.
to things that are like eternal and meaningful.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that our identity is found in Christ,
mm-hmm.
not in our job titles, our social media following, mm-hmm. or our bank account balance.
Right. So it's about like intentionally choosing to prioritize God's values over the world's.
Yes.
About making choices that reflect our like allegiance to Christ,
mm-hmm.
even when those choices are like unpopular or countercultural.
Yes. And it's about being mindful of like the things we allow into our minds.
Okay.
What we watch, what we listen to, what we read.
Right.
all of these things have the potential to, you know, shape our thoughts and desires.
So it's about being intentional about, like, the media we consume, the people we spend time with, the activities we engage in.
It is. And it's also about having, like, a strong support system.
Okay.
You know, people who will encourage us in our faith and help us stay on track.
So, like, accountability partners for our spiritual lives.
Exactly. It's about surrounding ourselves with people who will, like, point us back to Christ and remind us of what truly matters.
This is all so helpful. It's like James is giving us, like, a roadmap.
He is.
For navigating the complexities of life in a way that, like, honors God and brings true freedom and fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering, how do these three actions, you know, bridling the tongue, caring for the needy, and keeping ourselves unstained from the world?
Yeah.
Like, how do they all fit together?
Right.
Are they just random good deeds?
Right.
Or is there, like, a deeper connection?
That's a great question. And the answer is, they're all expressions of a heart that has been transformed by God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
They're all like fruits of a genuine faith
that
is working itself out in love.
So it's not about trying to like earn God's favor by doing good deeds.
Right.
It's about recognizing that these actions are a natural outflow of a heart that's been changed by Christ.
Exactly. They are evidence of a faith that's like alive and active, a faith that's making a real difference in the world. Think about it. When we bridle our tongues, we're reflecting God's character of love and grace.
Okay.
When we care for the needy, we're embodying Christ's compassion for the marginalized and vulnerable.
Right.
And when we keep ourselves unstained from the world, we're demonstrating our allegiance to God's kingdom over the kingdoms of this world.
It's like these actions are all interconnected.
They are.
They all point back to like a deeper reality.
Right.
A heart that's been touched by God's love and is seeking to live like obedience to his will.
Right. And that's what makes James's message so powerful and so enduring. You know, he's not just giving us like a list of rules to follow.
Right.
He's inviting us into a transformative relationship with God that will change every aspect of our lives.
It's a challenge for sure.
It is.
But it's also an incredible invitation.
It is. And it's an invitation that's open to all of us.
I love that.
Oh, no.
So where do we go from here? How do we take these insights and like put them into practice in our everyday lives?
Well, you know, I think that's a common struggle.
Yeah.
You hear this challenging message and you're fired up.
Right.
But then the question becomes, what's my next step?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe we can like shift gears a bit and talk about like practical application.
Okay.
How can we take these three actions, bridling the tongue, caring for the needy, and keeping ourselves unstained, and like weave them into the fabric of our everyday lives?
It's about starting small and being consistent.
Okay.
You know, you don't have to overhaul your entire life overnight.
Right.
Just pick one area and focus on like making small changes.
So for example, if you're struggling with like negative speech, maybe you commit to like speaking words of encouragement to one person every day, or, you know, if you want to be more intentional about caring for the needy, maybe you start by volunteering at a local soup kitchen. Like once a month.
Right. It's about finding something that fits into your life.
Okay.
And committing to doing it consistently over time, those small actions will start to like add up.
Right.
And you'll begin to see a real transformation in your life and in the world around you.
And it's about being patient with yourself too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we're all works in progress. None of us are going to get this right all the time.
Absolutely. It's a journey, not a destination.
Right.
And God is more concerned with our hearts than with our outward performance. Oh. He sees our efforts.
Right.
And he's pleased when we're striving to live in obedience to his will.
That's encouraging. It's like, even if we stumble or fall short, God's grace is always there to like pick us up and help us keep going.
Exactly. And remember, we don't have to do this alone.
Right.
You know, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and empower us. And we have each other to, like, encourage and support along the way.
The lecture notes actually make a fascinating connection here.
Okay.
They point out that these three actions, they're not just about our, like, personal growth.
Right.
They're also about, like, reflecting God's character to the world.
That's a really important point. When we bridle our tongues, we're showing the world that God is a God of love and grace. When we care for the needy, we're demonstrating God's compassion and justice.
Right.
And when we keep ourselves unstained from the world,
mm.
we're proclaiming that our allegiance is to, like, a higher kingdom,
right?
A kingdom that is not of this world.
It's like our lives become a living testimony,
yeah,
to the transformative power of the gospel.
Right. And that's something that the world desperately needs to see,
yeah,
you know, in a culture that's increasingly self-centered and materialistic.
Yeah.
We have the opportunity to, like, shine a light into the darkness, yeah, to show people that there's a better way, a way that leads to true freedom and lasting joy.
It's a powerful reminder that our actions speak louder than our words.
Absolutely. People may not always listen to what we say,
right,
but they will always pay attention to how we live.
Yeah.
So if we want to make a real impact on the world, we need to let our actions reflect the values and priorities of God's kingdom.
It's a high calling, but it's also an incredible privilege.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's a calling that's open to every follower of Christ. You know, no matter who you are or what your background is,
right,
you can be a doer of the word. You can make a difference in the world.
I love that. This deep dive has really challenged me to think differently about what it means to, like, live out my faith.
Yeah.
It's not just about, you know, going to church or reading my Bible.
Right.
It's about letting God's word transform, like, every aspect of my life, and then letting that transformation spill out into the world around me.
And that's what it means to be, like, a true disciple of Christ. It's about more than just believing certain things. It's about living a life that reflects God's character and makes a real difference in the world.
So as you go about your day, I want to leave you with this challenge.
Okay.
How can you be a doer of the word today? How can you bridle your tongue, care for the needy, and keep yourself unstained from the world?
Remember, it's not about perfection.
Right.
It's about progress.
Okay.
It's about taking those small, consistent steps
that lead to lasting transformation.
Yeah.
And as you do, you'll discover the incredible power and beauty of a life that's fully surrendered to God.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it's challenged you to think differently about what it means to be a doer of the word. And we encourage you to continue exploring this passage and to put its teachings into practice in your own life. Until next time.
It's a great question. It's so easy to get caught up in the negativity, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like everyone's got an opinion.
Right.
And they're not afraid to share it, no matter how, like, hurtful it might be.
I can feel, like, overwhelming sometimes. It's like, how do you even begin to bridle your tongue when you're constantly, like, being bombarded with negativity?
I think it starts with awareness.
Okay.
We need to be, like, mindful of the power of our words.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we speak, we have the potential to, you know, build someone up or tear them down.
Right.
And James is saying that for those who claim to follow Christ,
our words should be characterized by, you know, grace, truth, and love.
So it's not just about avoiding, like, profanity or harsh language.
Right.
It's about being intentional with our words, even in, like, casual conversations or online interactions.
Exactly. It's about asking ourselves, are my words bringing life and encouragement to others? Or am I contributing to the negativity and division that's so, like, prevalent in our world?
That's a great challenge.
Yeah.
It's like, before we hit send on that tweet or that comment,
yeah,
we need to pause and ask ourselves, is this something that Jesus would say?
It's about letting the Holy Spirit guide our words.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, James compares the tongue to, like, a bit in a horse's mouth or a rudder on a ship.
Right.
Small things that can control something much larger.
Right.
Our words can have a huge impact, you know, for better or for worse.
That's a powerful image. And it makes me think about how often we use our words, like, carelessly, without really considering the consequences. It's like we're just throwing words around without thinking about this, like, impact they might have.
It's so easy to do, especially in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
But James is calling us to, like, a higher standard.
Okay.
He's saying that if we truly want to be doers of the word, we need to start by taming our tongues.
So how do we do that? What are some, like, practical steps we can take to bridle our tongues?
Well, I think it starts with prayer.
Okay.
We need to ask God to help us, like, control our tongues and to speak words that are pleasing to him.
Okay.
And we need to be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit's promptings.
So it's about, like, surrendering our speech to God's control.
Absolutely. And it's also about being intentional about the words we consume.
Okay.
If we're constantly filling our minds with, like, negativity and gossip,
right,
it's going to be much harder to speak words of life and encouragement.
So maybe it's time to, like, do a social media detox or be more selective about the news we watch.
It could be. And it's also about choosing to surround ourselves with people who are like speaking words of life and truth.
Okay.
You know, the kind of people who build you up and encourage you in your faith.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah.
We become like the people we spend the most time with.
Right.
So it's important to be intentional about our relationships.
And remember, bridling the tongue is not about being silent all the time.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, speaking up for what's right, mm-hmm. speaking words of truth and love.
Okay.
And using our words to encourage and build others up.
It's about using our words to, like, bring light into the darkness.
Exactly. Right? And that brings us to the next action that James highlights. Caring for the needy.
Okay.
Particularly widows and orphans.
This is where the rubber really meets the road, isn't it?
It is.
It's one thing to, like, talk about loving others,
mm-hmm.
but it's another thing entirely to put that love into action.
It is. And James is very clear that caring for the needy is not, like, optional.
Okay.
For those who claim to follow Christ. It's not something we do. Like, if we have time or extra resources,
right.
it's a fundamental expression of our faith.
So what does that, like, look like in practice?
Yeah.
I mean, not all of us have orphans and widows living next door.
Right. You're right. The world has changed a lot since James's time.
Right.
But the principle remains the same. It's about, like, actively seeking out those who are marginalized and vulnerable in our society.
Okay.
And finding ways to, you know, meet their needs.
Mm-hmm.
It's about looking beyond ourselves and extending compassion to those who are struggling.
So it could look like volunteering at a homeless shelter or mentoring a foster child or just, you know, being a good neighbor to someone who's going through a difficult time.
Absolutely. It's about opening our eyes to the needs around us mm-hmm. and asking God to show us how we can make a difference.
Yeah.
It's about being like the hands and feet of Jesus in our communities.
And it's not just about like giving money, right?
Right.
It's about like being present with people.
Yeah.
Listening to their stories,
mm-hmm.
offering them like practical support.
Exactly. It's about showing them that they are seen and loved.
Mm-hmm.
It's about reminding them that they are not alone.
It's about like embodying the compassion of Christ.
Yes. And it's also about like advocating for justice and speaking up for those who are being, you know, marginalized or oppressed.
Right.
It's about using our voices to amplify the voices of those who are often silenced.
That's so important. It's like our actions need to match our words.
Right.
We can't just talk about caring for the needy.
Mm-hmm.
We need to actually do something about it.
Right. And that brings us to the final action that James highlights, keeping ourselves unstained from the world.
Okay. This one can be a bit tricky, can't it? I mean, we live in the world.
Yeah.
So how do we keep ourselves from being like influenced by it?
Right.
Especially when we're like bombarded with so many messages about what we should buy, how we should look, and what will make us happy.
You're absolutely right. It's a constant battle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about like becoming hermits or isolating ourselves from the world.
Right.
It's about being like discerning.
Okay.
About recognizing the subtle ways in which, you know, the world's values and priorities
yeah.
can seep into our hearts and minds.
So how do we do that? How do we guard our hearts against those like subtle influences?
I think it starts with recognizing that the world's definition of like success and happiness and fulfillment is often at odds with God's.
Okay.
The world tells us that we need to be rich, powerful, and popular to be happy.
Right.
But God says that true happiness is found in Him,
okay.
in loving Him and serving others.
So it's about like redefining what it means to be successful.
Yeah.
About shifting our focus from like material possessions and worldly achievements
mm-hmm.
to things that are like eternal and meaningful.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that our identity is found in Christ, not in our job titles, our social media following,
right.
or our bank account balance.
Yeah. So it's about like intentionally choosing to prioritize God's values over the world's.
Yes.
About making choices that reflect our like allegiance to Christ,
mm-hmm.
even when those choices are like unpopular, countercultural.
Yes. And it's about being mindful of like the things we allow into our minds,
right.
what we watch, what we listen to, what we read. All of these things have the potential to, you know, shape our thoughts and desires.
So it's about being intentional about like the media we consume, the people we spend time with, the activities we engage in.
It is. And it's also about having like a strong support system.
Okay.
You know, people who will encourage us in our faith and help us stay on track.
So like accountability partners for our spiritual lives.
Exactly. It's about surrounding ourselves with people who will like point us back to Christ, yes, remind us of what truly matters.
This has been really eye-opening. You know, it's like James is giving us this really practical guide for living out our faith in a way that like honors God and brings true freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I'm wondering, like, how do we actually put all of this into practice?
Right.
You know, it's one thing to talk about it, but it's another thing to actually do it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's a common struggle.
Right.
We hear this challenging message, you know, and we get fired up. But then it's like, okay, what's next? Where do I even begin?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe we can like shift gears a bit.
Yeah, sure.
And talk about some practical steps that we can take to like make this real in our everyday lives.
Yeah. Love that.
Okay. So where do we start?
Oh, I think like the key is to start small.
Okay.
And to be consistent. You don't have to like overhaul your entire life overnight, you know?
Yeah, right.
Just pick one area.
Okay.
And focus on making small changes.
Okay.
Like, for example, if you're struggling with negative speech, maybe you commit to speaking words of encouragement to one person every day.
Okay. Like that.
Or if you want to be more intentional about, you know, caring for the needy, maybe you could start by volunteering at a local soup kitchen once a month, something like that.
Yeah, that's great.
It's about, you know, finding something that fits into your life and committing to doing it consistently.
Okay.
And over time, those small actions, they'll start to add up.
Right.
And you'll begin to see a real transformation,
not
just in your own life, but also in the world around you.
And it's about being patient with ourselves, too.
Oh, absolutely.
We're not going to get this right all the time.
Right.
It's a journey.
It is.
Not a destination.
It is a journey. And God is much more concerned with our hearts, you know, than he is with our outward performance. He sees our efforts.
Right.
And he's pleased when we're striving to, you know, live in obedience to his will.
That's encouraging. It's like, even if we, you know, stumble or fall short.
Yeah.
God's grace is always there to pick us back up.
It is.
And help us keep going.
It is. And remember, we don't have to do this alone.
Right.
We have the Holy Spirit to guide us and empower us.
And we have, like, each other to encourage and support one another along the way.
That's so good. Yeah. The lecture notes actually make a really fascinating connection here.
Okay.
They point out that these three actions,
yeah,
they're not just about, like, our personal growth,
right,
but they're also about reflecting God's character to the world.
That's a really important point. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
When we bridle our tongues, we're showing the world that God is a God of love and grace.
Right. Okay.
When we care for the needy, we're demonstrating God's compassion and justice.
Okay.
And when we keep ourselves unstained from the world,
yeah,
we're proclaiming that our allegiance is to a higher kingdom, you know, a kingdom that's not of this world.
Yeah. It's like our lives become a living testimony to the transformative power of the gospel.
Exactly. And that's something that, like, the world desperately needs to see, you know, in a culture that's increasingly self-centered and materialistic.
Yeah.
We have the opportunity to, like, shine a light into the darkness to show people that there's a better way.
Right.
A way that leads to true freedom and lasting joy.
It's a powerful reminder that, like, our actions speak louder than words.
Absolutely. People may not always listen to what we say.
Right.
But they'll always pay attention to how we live.
Right. Yeah.
So if we really want to make an impact on the world, we need to let our actions reflect the values and priorities of God's kingdom, you know, to live it out.
Yeah. It's a high calling.
It is.
But it's also an incredible privilege. You know,
it is. And it's a calling that's open to every follower of Christ. You know, no matter who you are or what your background is.
Right.
You can be a doer of the word.
Yeah.
You can make a difference.
I love that.
Yeah.
This deep dive has been so thought provoking.
Yeah.
It's really challenged me to like think differently about what it means to live out my faith. It's not just about, you know, going to church or reading my Bible.
Right.
It's about letting God's word like transform every aspect of my life.
Yeah. And then letting that transformation like spill out into the world around me.
And that's what it means to be a true disciple of Christ, isn't it?
Yeah, that's good.
It's about more than just like believing certain things. It's about living a life that reflects God's character and makes a real difference in the world.
Well, as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with this challenge. How can you be a doer of the word today?
Yes.
How can you, you know, bridle your tongue, care for the needy,
Yeah.
And keep yourself unstained from the world.
That's so good.
You know, it's not about being perfect.
No, the fault.
It's about progress.
Right.
It's about taking those small, consistent steps.
Yeah.
That will ultimately lead to lasting transformation in our lives and in the world around us.
And as you do, you know, as you take those steps, mm-hmm. you'll discover the incredible power and beauty
right.
of a life that's like fully surrendered to God.
That's so good. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into James 1.22:27.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope this conversation has challenged you to think differently about what it means to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. And we encourage you to, you know, keep wrestling with these ideas, keep exploring this passage, and most importantly, put these teachings into practice in your everyday life. Until next time.